Well, Congress may have avoided going over the fiscal cliff, but was the New Year's deal on taxes good for the economy? Joining us live now is Peter Coy, economics editor for Bloomberg Businessweek. There was a big sigh of relief at news of the deal, Peter, but you liken praising this new deal as akin to praising an arsonist for extinguishing his own fire.
That's right. After all, Congress brought this situation upon itself. It was intended to be a forcing mechanism to get Congress to take the deficit seriously. And so they created a situation where going off the fiscal cliff would have been a pure disaster. That meant they had to avoid that disaster, which they did. So obviously the stock market responded well, just because going off the fiscal cliff would have been truly disastrous. So we can breathe a sigh of relief about that. But the question is, was it really a good deal? And I think the answer to that is no. It was actually taking away some of the stimulus that the economy does need in the short term without really doing anything serious about the long-term imbalances that are going to start plaguing us over the next decade or so.
Peter, is there any mainstream thought as to how it is that we could deal with this crisis of having to pay our past debts, which are extraordinary and imposing, while at the same time not doing anything that gets in the way of spurring economic growth and development today, which create jobs?
Well, the critical phrase is at the same time, not literally at the same time, but what you can do. I talked to Chris Varveros, who's the president of Macroeconomic Advisors in St. Louis. It's a mainstream economic forecasting outfit. And he, among many other economists, says that it's clear that the economy is soft now, weak demand, high unemployment, and it could use a stimulus. We've had less and less stimulus since 2009. Federal spending is actually detracting from growth. But if you put in a schedule that didn't kick in right away but put you on a track to dealing with the long-term entitlements problem, if you put that in place in a believable way now, then you can sort of have the best of both worlds.
It seems like there's almost no chance of salvaging what you're describing here as the next deadline approaches in just a couple of months.
Conceptually, it could still be done. It's just that there's an epidemic of short-term thinking in Washington, and crises do not tend to breed contemplation and good judgment. They tend to breed, you know, exactly the opposite, anger and frustration and brinkmanship is what we're seeing.
Now, we owe, what is it, $18 trillion right now as a nation?
I think it's 15 or so trillion. It's a little less if you include, if you take out the Social Security trust funds, which is money one part of government owes the other. That's closer to 11.
Well, we're friends. I'm not going to argue over $3 trillion with you. But are we going to end up in a situation here where we're already seeing in Greece and in parts of Europe, which is pretty much like what we saw with what was happening with the housing crisis in this country, where we end up going back to our creditors and saying, we can't make payments, so can we write down the debt?
Yeah, well, that's obviously a possibility over a decades-long framework, and that's why we need to get our fiscal house in order. It's certainly not a short-term threat. The U.S. can literally borrow money at negative interest rates going by the inflation-protected securities. It's very cheap for America to borrow, which is why some of the people who favor stimulus say, look, if we have a crying need for new roads and bridges and so on, why not borrow the money to do it now, put people back to work, and get stuff done that needs to be done?
You're not holding your breath for that, are you?
No,
right now. All right. Peter, thanks. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Peter Coy is the economics editor for Bloomberg Businessweek.